ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 2, Daksha Curses Lord Shiva. Text number 1. Vidura Uvacha Bhave Shiva Vatam Shrestai Daksho Dutir Vatsalaha Vidvesham Akarod Vemam Andrityatma Jam Satim Vidura Vacha Vidura said, Bhave, toward Lord Shiva, Shilabhatam, among the gentle, Shreste, the best, Dakshina, Daksha, Utir, Utsala, being affectionate toward his daughter, Vidvesham, enmity, Akarod, did exhibit, Seimat, why, Andritya, neglecting, Admajam, his own daughter, Tatim, Sati. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Madhura inquired, why was Daksha, who was so affectionate toward his daughter, envious of Lord Shiva, who is the best among the gentle? Why did he neglect his daughter, Sati? Please repeat. Madhura inquired, why was Daksha, who was so affectionate toward his daughter, envious of Lord Shiva, who's the best among the gentle? Why did he neglect his daughter, Sati? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. In the second chapter of the fourth canto, the cause of this dissension between Lord Shiva and Daksha, which was due to a great sacrifice arranged by Daksha for the pacification of the entire universe, is explained. Lord Shiva is described here as the best of the gentle because he's not envious of anyone. He's equal to all living entities and all other good qualities are present in his personality. The word Shiva means all auspicious. No one can be an enemy of Lord Shiva, for he is peaceful and renounced that he does not even construct a house or his residence, or lives under a tree, always detached from worldly things. The personality of Lord Shiva symbolizes the best of gentleness. Why then was Daksha, who offered his beloved daughter with such a gentle personality, inimical to our Lord Shiva, so intensely that Sati, the daughter of Daksha and wife of Lord Shiva, gave up her body? That's a very good question. Aranyanam taram jasya janajana sagaya Chakshurumitam jena tasmei shi gurave namaha Sri Chaitanya namaro istam stapitam jena bhutale Swayam rupa gadamayam danti swapadanti kam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Guru Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And someone can call the other devotees, are they taking prasadam or what? They're sleeping or what? I don't know why they're not coming to class. Any good reason? Why the devotees are not coming to class? The deer inquired, why was Daksha, who was so affectionate toward his daughter, envious of Lord Shiva, who was the best among the gentle? Why did he neglect his daughter, Sati? So, what happened was, when Daksha entered the assembly, they were performing a great sacrifice for peace of the universe. Many great saintly persons came there, and Lord Shiva was one of them. So, when Daksha entered the assembly, he had a glowing effulgence, and everybody present stood up to receive him, except for Lord Shiva. So, Daksha wasn't happy about that. And he started speaking badly, blaspheming Lord Shiva. When Prabhupada went to Paris, he was invited to meet the mayor. So they arranged a program. Prabhupada went to meet the mayor. And they waited for some time. The mayor came with his entourage, his secretary and his ministers, and everybody was supposed to stand up when the mayor comes. Like when you go to court, when the judge walks in, everyone's required to stand up. But Prabhupada was sitting, and devotees said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you have to stand up. And Prabhupada said, stand up for who? So Prabhupada didn't stand up for this man. But they didn't seem to mind. They didn't take it as an offense. But generally, when a great personality comes, you should offer respects. Says if you see a sannyasi in the morning and you don't offer obeisances, then you should fast for that day. So there's the animosity between Lord Shiva and Daksha. But was Daksha at fault or was Lord Shiva at fault? Whereas Daksha got himself in trouble more than one time. He had 10,000 sons, told them to get married and populate the world. Daksha means one who's expert at sex life. So Daksha is a progenitor, and he's responsible for creating the living entities. So Daksha, when he told his 10,000 sons to go to get married and populate the world. So they went off to some holy place, form austerity, so they could do that. And while they were there, Narada Muni came and preached to them, and as a result, they all stayed brahmachari. So Daksha wasn't happy about that, but he didn't say anything. Then Daksha had another 1,000 sons. He told them to get married and populate the world. So they went off to perform austerities, just like their brother. And Narada Muni came there and did the same thing. Told them to stay brahmacharis. So 10,000, 11,000 sons of Daksha all stayed brahmacharis. So Daksha couldn't tolerate that. That was 10,000 was he could tolerate, but another 1,000 he couldn't tolerate. And he said all kinds of bad things about Narada Muni. We know Narada Muni, he's the best of all demigods, Devarsha Narada. And he's a spaceman, interscholastic spaceman. He can go everywhere and anywhere. And he's liked by everyone. He can go to demons and devotees alike. So he goes to Kamsa. He went to Kamsa. He goes to different places to speed up the pastimes. Kamsa didn't know that the eighth child of this Devaki was Krishna, and that Krishna was in Vrindavan, and Krishna was the one who was going to kill him. So Narada Muni went there to explain everything to him to speed up the pastime. So these things happen in Srimad Bhagavatam. People get cursed, and for trifles, or not very important things, not things that were worth being cursed for. So Maharaj Parikshit, he was out in the forest hunting, and he went to the hermitage of one sage to drink some water. And that sage was in trance, or samadhi, so he didn't welcome Maharaj Parikshit. So Maharaj Parikshit felt insulted. He took a dead snake and put it around the Rishi's neck and went away. But the son of the Rishi, when he saw what had happened, he was only 12 years old, but he had Brahma Tejas. He had Brahma power to curse people. So he cursed Maharaj Parikshit that you will die in 7 days being bitten by a snake bird. So this is one incident. What he did was not so serious. Like in the law, when you go to court, some cases are misdemeanors, and some cases are criminal offenses, major offenses. There's misdemeanors and there's severe offenses. So Maharaj Parikshit, he didn't deserve to be cursed to die for what he did. He knew that he did something that wasn't very nice, but it wasn't that bad that he had to die for that. It's like devotees go out on book distribution in the beginning, and they were being arrested by the police every single day, and they had to go to jail, and they were stayed in jail for I don't know how long, and then to come out and keep doing Harinam and book distribution. If there was any books, at least they were doing Harinam at that time. And they asked Prabhupada, what should we do? Should we hire a lawyer? And Prabhupada said, no, it's not necessary. You just keep going out chanting and go to jail. And when you go to jail, you should chant there. And everything will work out by itself. So finally they went to court, and the whole case, the judge ruled, said to the police, that these are nice people, and you shouldn't bother them anymore. So I think they don't bother us anymore. But what are we doing? What is it? It's not a criminal act to go on the street and chant Hare Krishna. Is that a criminal act? In Russia, they arrested some devotees, the KGB. They were very, very cruel and hard on people. They arrested devotees and sent them to Siberia, which is cold and a bad place. And when they got to Siberia, the people in charge said, what is their crime? And they said, they didn't commit any crime, because they were just selling books about God. That doesn't seem like, that's not a crime. But anyway, they had to spend 2 years in jail. One of them didn't survive, the other one did. And he wrote a book about it called Salted Bread. And Maharaj Ambarish, he was doing, following Ekadasi Dwadasi for 1 year. And Devasa Muni came, and it was time for him to break his fast, Param time. So he told Narada Muni, you go and take your bath and come back, and I'll have prasadam for you. You know, Daksha, Devasa Muni, his expansion of Lord Shiva, is easily pleased, easily angered. So Maharaj Ambarish decided to drink. He consulted with some Brahmins, and then he decided that he could drink some water which breaks the fast, but doesn't break the fast. So he drank some water, maybe one cup or two. Then when Devasa Muni came back, he knew, he had the vision, he knew what had happened, and he was offended that he considered this drinking a little water to be eating. You're not supposed to eat, if you have a guest, you're not supposed to eat before you feed the guests. So he became very angry, and he pulled a hair out of his head and threw it on the ground. And a big fiery demon appeared to kill Maharaj Ambarish. But Maharaj Ambarish was a great devotee, and the Lord had given him the Sudarshan Chakra to protect him. So, again, this is not a... wasn't a big offense to drink a little water. You wouldn't think someone should die for that. You could have chastised them or something, but you wouldn't think someone's going to die for drinking a little water. Anyway, we know the Chirushan Chakra is the best friend of the Lord, and he started chasing Devasa Muni all over the universe. And finally, Devasa Muni came back to Maharaj Ambarish to beg for forgiveness. And Maharaj Ambarish had only been drinking water for 1 year until Devasa Muni came back. So these are different stories in the Bhagavatam, many more, where people are cursed and put into trouble for no reason or no big reason. And when Srila Prabhupada went around the world 14 times in 12 years. And sometimes it's not so easy to get through customs. I think they take the government, they train up some man, they find the meanest man, the man who can be the most obnoxious and mean, and they put him in immigration. It happened to me in Nepal and also in India, the home ministry. The people weren't nice at all. They were mean. They were hollering at everybody, get out of here, go back to your country. So you'd wonder, the mostly tourists go to Nepal, get a visa to come to India. So you'd think they would be nice to the people because they're going to spend their money in India. And tourists is is welcome. But it wasn't that way. And Prabhupada came back from South Africa. His servant forgot to bring his yellow fever card. So devotees didn't know how to deal with the authorities, and they were arguing with the authorities. And so they put Prabhupada in quarantine for 10 days. He had to stay in some room near the airport for 10 days. So these are, in this sample, how they, how demons can be, give trouble, even to Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada came, when he got out after 10 days, he said, I can never get yellow fever. But anyway, the devotees were there and they took care of Prabhupada and gave him all he needed to. But in India, if you argue with the officials, then they become more angry. And the more you argue with them, the more they argue with you, and there's you can't resolve anything. So you have to be very tactful with the way you deal with the government. And even today, sometimes they think, many people in the government think we're with the CIA. And the CIA is the Central Intelligence Agency in America, like the police, secret police. Now, Prabhupada said, what's the CIA doing in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement? The CIA, they don't get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. They don't go out on the street in their bed sheets and do what we do. This is a religious organization. We're not anyway involved with politics. But they didn't want to give us the land for the temple in New Delhi because they thought we were with the CIA. Because I don't know how that started. But we have to show that we were an educational institution. Then they gave us permission to build the temple. So this is what's happening. Now, Daksha cursed Lord Shiva, there was quarrel between Daksha and Lord Shiva. But Shiva means all auspicious, and he's the head of the Ruja Sampradaya. And says here that he's not envious. When the four Kumaras appeared, Lord Brahma told them to get married and populate the world. But the four Kumaras said, no, we're going to stay 4 or 5 year old children for the rest of our life, so we can't never be disturbed by sex life. Sex, never be agitated for sex life. Because children, 4 or 5 years old, don't like to mingle. Boys and girls, they don't like to mingle together. When you're a boy, when you're a 5 year old boy, you hate girls most of the time. But Krishna stole the garments of the gopis when he was 5 years old, because the gopis had a desire for Krishna to become their husband. But he couldn't become their husband when he was 5 years old. And they were between 10 and 14. So he did that for the future, so he can become their husband for the future. Not at that age. So, Lord Shiva is the best of all Vaishnava Vita Shambhu. In the Brahma Samhita, it says, Shiramyata Dari Vikara Vishesha Yoga Sanjayate Nahitata Pika Asti Hetu Yansambutam Apitata Samupeti Karyat Govindamari Pusha Tamaha Bhajami. This is milk is transformed into curd. Curd means yogurt, by the action of acid. But yet the effect curd is neither same as nor different from its cause, which is milk. I adore that primeval Lord, Lord Govinda, of whom the state of Shambhu is a transformation of the performance of the work of destruction. So Lord Shiva is not an ordinary living being. It's compared to yogurt. When you boil milk and then you add a culture and then you wait for some time and it turns into yogurt. So yogurt and milk are the same thing, but they're used for a different way and they taste different. But if you take too much yogurt in the wintertime, it makes you cold. Take too much yogurt, it's a summer item. Anyway, it's clear that Lord Shiva is a great personality of God, great personality, and in all cases, Daksha shouldn't have been offended because he didn't stand up. It was something he should have overlooked. Something he should have, not be so offended by it. So the devotees of the Lord are one who is not envious, but a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor, is free from false ego, is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled, engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind intelligent fixed on me, such a devotee mind is very dear. It also says, yeah, devotee, when one becomes a devotee, he has all the good qualities of demigod. All the demigod, exalted qualities such as religion, knowledge, and renunciation become manifest in the body of one who has developed unalloyed devotion with the Supreme Personality, Vasudeva. On the other hand, a person devoid of devotional service, engaged in material activities, has no good qualities. Even if he's adept at the practice of mystic yoga, for the honest endeavor for maintaining his family and relatives, he must be driven by his mind, mental speculations, and must engage in the even if he is adept at the practice of mystic yoga or the honest endeavor for maintaining family and relatives, he must be driven by his own mental speculation and must engage in the service of the Lord's external energy. How can there be any good qualities in such a man? So, this difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. Non-devotees cannot have any good qualities. And because they're always on the mental platform. But Lord Shiva has all good qualities, even though he doesn't have a house, he doesn't build himself a house, he doesn't wear clothes, he's a very austere life, detached from all worldly affairs. But he has his abode. There's Devidham, then there's Maheshdham, then there's Haridham, and then there's Golok Vrindavan. So it's those souls who are free from material contamination but aren't performing devotional service go to Maheshdham, the abode of Lord Shiva. So, and Lord Shiva is the head of the Ruja Sampradaya. It says, if one doesn't take initiation from a bona fide Sampradaya, then his mantra will not have any effect. There's four Sampradayas, Lord Shiva, the Ruja Sampradaya, Lord Brahma, the Madhava Sampradaya, the Kumara, the four Kumara Sampradaya, and Lakshmi, Sri Sampradaya. So these four Sampradayas, their philosophies differ slightly, a little bit, but they have one thing in common. They all accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, but if one doesn't take initiation in any Sampradaya, then he's not, can't make spiritual advancement. And there's many cheater gurus who are not in any Sampradaya, and they get millions of followers, but they can't take their followers back to Godhead. They can't even go back to Godhead themselves. Recently in India, there was a big, there was riots in the street in Haryana and Punjab, because the guru, who had 10 girlfriends, had a court case, and he had 10 girlfriends, and he had millions and millions of rupees. He couldn't buy himself out of from going to jail. So his followers, he had millions of followers, they started rioting on the streets. But he wasn't any Sampradaya, so he wasn't a bona fide Vaishnava guru. So there's people, two kinds of people in this world. Those are cheaters and those are cheated. So this man was a cheater and he cheated so many people. And he ended up getting a 10-year jail sentence. Anyway, there's many kinds, these kinds of people all over the world who claim to be gurus and have many followers, but actually they don't belong to any sampradaya. Just down the street from Krishna Balaram Mandir, there's the Prem Mandir. At the Krishna Balaram Mandir, every day, we have 10 people outside selling flowers. So when the people come for darshan, they can buy a garland, offer it to Gornitai, Krishna Balaram, or Radhasham. But this other mandir, the Prem Mandir, which cost $30 million, and was built with marble from Italy. And they have 10 people in front of their temple selling ice cream. Because this man, Kripalu, he claiming he was Lord Chaitanya. And he didn't chant, you won't find the Ma Mantra anywhere in his temple. So people do go there. You can go there one time just to see what's there. They did a good job. They made a nice museum. But there's no bhakti there. No kirtan. The Ma Mantra is nowhere. So people are fooled thinking this man was a great man, but he wasn't in it. Any sampradaya that we know of. And they say you don't have to practice Vaidhi Bhakti. You can just go take up Raga Nuga Bhakti without any qualification. So Lord Shiva was the best of all Vaishnavas. He shouldn't have been cursed, shouldn't have been. Daksha shouldn't have been offended because he didn't stand up. It was a small thing. But this is Vaishnava Aparad. That the 10 offenses, Vaishnava Aparad, is called Sadhu Ninda. And this is the worst offense of the 10 offenses because when you offend a Vaishnava, even Krishna will not excuse you. When Durvasa Muni offended Maharaj Ambarish, he went to Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu said, I can't do anything. You have to go back to Maharaj Ambarish. So first the Shurachan Chakra was chasing Durvasa Muni, and the heat was burning his neck. So he went to Lord Shiva, he went to Lord Brahma, he went all over the universe to get relief, but no one could help him. And he went to Mahavishnu and asked for help. But Mahavishnu said, no, I can't help you. You offended my devotee. If you go to Maharaj Ambarish and beg forgiveness, then the chakra will stop following you. So he did that. And while he was gone, Maharaj Ambarish, for 1 year, only drank water. Although he didn't commit a serious offense, but Durvasa Muni got the reaction and had to suffer. And so in this way, the Lord Shiva, Shiva means all auspicious. He's best of all Vaishnavas. But He's the guru of the dull-headed people and the ghosts. So it doesn't look like a Vaishnava. The same way when Mukunda told Gradhar Pandit that I want you to meet a very elevated soul. So Mukunda went to see Pundarik Vijayaniti. At that time, Pundarik Vijayaniti was looking like a material sense enjoyer. He had long wavy hair, he had, you know, silk cloth, he had a silk bedstead, he had platoons, he had all the paraphernalia for a sense enjoyer. So Gradhar Pandit couldn't understand that this man was an advanced devotee. But when Mukunda recited one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam about how Putana was delivered, this Pundarik Vijayaniti went into ecstasy. And for a couple of hours, he tore off his clothes, he broke everything in the room. And then Gradhar Pandit could understand that this was actually a pure devotee. So he decided that he would take initiation from what's his name? Yeah, Pundarik Vijayaniti. So you cannot always recognize someone by their external dress. But we go on book distribution. We wear a pants and shirt. As Prabhupada said, you could do that. But we don't stop becoming devotees. It may be easier to distribute books that way. But still, we are protected by Lord Chaitanya. When we go on book distribution, we meet so many different kinds of people. And they don't know we're devotees, but we don't associate with them. Association means you share the same thought with someone. So we don't associate with people who are non-devotees, but we give them our association. And Prabhupada said that wanted the books to be distributed. He printed the books and then he wanted the devotees to distribute them. So the devotees can change their dress for preaching. Doesn't mean they break the principles. Not breaking the principles. It's wear an ordinary dress just like an ordinary person. But we know that the book distributors are, a lot of them are very advanced devotees. And they go out and distribute many books every single day. And in this way, Krishna consciousness movement is being spread all over the world. So Lord Shiva may not be recognized as a great devotee, but we know he is his own category. He's not an ordinary jiva, and he has his own sampradaya. So the living entity, Nectar Devotion says, living entity has 50 qualities, and the demigods and Lord Shiva have 55 qualities, and Lord Vishnu has 60 qualities, and Lord Krishna has 64 qualities. So all the qualities are there in Lord Shiva. So Daksha should have recognized that. But since he didn't recognize that, and Lord Shiva, the disciple, the companions of Lord Shiva, then they started cursing the companions of Daksha, and finally they cut off Daksha's head, and they wanted to give him his head back, but they threw it in the fire, so he couldn't get the head. So the only head that was available at that time was a goat's head. So Lord Shiva, Daksha got a goat's head. But the consciousness is not in the head. It's not in the brain. It's in the heart. The soul, super soul is in the heart, accompanying the individual soul. So even though Daksha got a goat's head, he still had the same mentality, same intelligence he had with his normal head. So then he came to his senses and realized that he had made a mistake by offending Lord Shiva, and prayed, went to Lord Shiva and begged for forgiveness. So if we commit Vaishnava aparad, knowingly or unknowingly, we should always take the humble position. Janadapi sinichena, Swarapi sishna, Amanya mandena, Kirtanya sarari. And if you think you offended a Vaishnava, you should go to that Vaishnava, fall down at his feet, and beg for forgiveness. The Vaishnava is very merciful, and if you beg for forgiveness, he will certainly forgive you. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, even if one commits the most abominable activity, he's still considered saintly, because it was by accident. If one commits an abominable activity by accident, Daivyesha Gunamayi, you know, the material energy is very strong. Anyone can be pulled away from Krishna consciousness or commit an abominable activity. In the Mahabharata, it says, well, one of the most abominable activities is to have sex with the wife of the guru. So even if someone does that, but one time, may it's considered accidental fall down. But Krishna said, told Arjuna, declared boldly, my devotee never perishes. So Arjuna said to Krishna, Name Bhakta Priyachati, why are you telling me to say this? Why don't you say it, Krishna? Krishna said, because I'm a Brijbasi, and Brijbasis are known for not keeping their promise. But if you say it, then people will believe it. And Krishna did have to break his promise on the battle of Kurukshetra and Bhishma Dev. When Arjuna was in trouble, Krishna made a promise not to take up any weapon on the battle of Kurukshetra. He was just a chariot driver for Arjuna. But at that time, when Arjuna was in trouble, Krishna took a wheel from the chariot and charged toward Grandfather Bhishma. But then, when the day ended, the fighting was over, so nothing happened. So he broke his promise. But that was for a higher purpose, to save his devotee. So Daksha is the progenitor of mankind. He populates the world. So neither Lord Shiva nor Daksha were ordinary living entities. Daksha means one who's expert at sex life. So after his 11,000 sons became state brahmachari, Daksha had 60 daughters. And Narada Muni couldn't tell them not to get married. So he was safe. He was safe. So here it says Sati gave up her body. Sati was the wife of Lord Shiva, but she was chaste and fearless. It's not an easy thing to give up your body. Commit suicide is never recommended. Even Sanatana Goswami felt that he was an offender to Lord Chaitanya because he had all these itching sores on his body. So he wanted to throw himself under the wheel of the Jagannath cart and commit suicide. But Lord Chaitanya said that you have no right, you can't do that, because someone in the mode of ignorance commits suicide. And Lord Chaitanya said, that body doesn't belong to you, it belongs to me, and I have so many things to do with you through your body, through that body. So in any case, even in modern day law, it's against the law to commit suicide. But Srimad Bhagavatam says in 7th canto, if you can't do your bhajan due to old age, invalidity, then you can practice fasting. So that's a kind of suicide, but that's bona fide. Or formerly, the wife would enter the fire along with her husband. When the husband died, the wife would voluntarily enter the fire, called the sati rite. But that has been outlawed because in Kali Yuga, women are not so faithful and chaste to the husband and are willing to enter the fire on their own accord. So even in the bhakti, in the series, the Bhai Charan series, they're trying to force one lady to enter the fire of her husband. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur came there. He was a district magistrate and he stopped it. So Sati was the daughter of Lord Shiva, and although she was a teeny bopper, in other words, she was a young girl, but because of Daksha offended Lord Shiva, and when she went back to the sacrifice alone, and her father didn't receive her, didn't respect her, didn't show any affection to her, she decided that she should give up her body. And because she was a chaste woman means someone who, by dictionary definition, a chaste woman doesn't have sex life. So she was a chaste, she had all good qualities, but she couldn't tolerate that Daksha had spoken bad words about Lord Shiva. And so she gave up her body. Then Daksha got the sacrifice was destroyed by all the associates of Lord Shiva, ghosts and goblins and all kinds of people. So in this way, we should know that as devotees, Prabhupada wanted the devotees in this movement. He said, if you can show your love for me by how well you cooperate to spread Krishna consciousness. So even though there's sometimes politics between the devotees, and sometimes devotees aren't willing to cooperate. It happens all the time. But a Vaishnava, he's not offended. If someone offends a Vaishnava, the Vaishnava himself is not offended. Because he thinks himself, the Uttama Adhikari, he thinks he's not even a devotee. He thinks everybody else is a devotee but me. Well, he's meek and humble, and if someone does offend a devotee, he's willing to forgive that person. So this is the different points here. That Daksha and Lord Shiva were great personalities. Daksha didn't have the right to condemn Lord Shiva, but he did anyhow, and he got his reaction. And so this is all many things he said about this, but I think the time is finished. But usually Prabhupada said in the last line of the purport, usually Prabhupada has something to sum up the purport. Why then was Daksha, who offered his beloved daughter to such a gentle personality, become inimical toward Lord Shiva so intensely that Satri, the daughter of Daksha and wife of Lord Shiva, gave up her body? That will be described in the following verses. And Madhura is inquiring from Maitreya. And when Madhura was present, the three people, Madhura, Maitreya, and Uddhava, were together. And Maitreya, or Madhura, Uddhava was more advanced than Maitreya. But because Maitreya was senior, so Madhura decided to take instruction from Maitreya instead of Uddhava. So we should be careful that when a senior devotee is present, that one should not preach unless he gives his permission. The Prabhupada would speak to people, and sometimes his secretary would be there, or sannyasi would be there, and he'd tell them to answer the question. But not on their own. Generally, if someone's senior devotee, should be given all respect. One should not preach in front of a senior devotee, but everything goes on due to false ego. One may think that I know so much, and due to false ego, Daksha thought he was a better devotee than Lord Shiva. And that's why this animosity arose. So with devotees, if we feel that we offended someone, we should go to that person, fall down to his feet, and beg forgiveness. And we should know that the Vaishnava Aparad is the mad elephant offense. If you have a garden, and the mad elephant comes in your garden, then he destroys everything very quickly. So if one commits Vaishnava Aparad, then one's devotional service can be checked, not only for one lifetime, for many lifetimes. So devotees should be careful of how we deal with each other. And even if you're wrong, if there's some argument, we should feel that even if you're right, you should think that you're wrong, and we should pay obeisances and ask for forgiveness. And generally, when devotees have quarrels or arguments about certain things, it can be easily resolved. If the devotee that was offended or thought someone else accused him of doing something wrong, he takes the humble position and offers obeisances and asks the devotee for forgiveness. Prabhupada said, if you're chastised by a senior Vaishnava, then you should fold your hands and say, yes, sir, and not be offended or try to defend yourself. Even Srila Prabhupada, when he gave me second initiation, I was nervous, and they gave me a piece of paper with the Gayatri Mantra on it, and I couldn't read it. So I was sitting there with Prabhupada, and he said, repeat after me, the Gayatri Mantra. But I couldn't read the paper, and I didn't know what the Gayatri Mantra was, and I couldn't understand what Prabhupada was saying. So I couldn't follow him. So he shook his head and looked at me. He shook his head and said, "I don't know how you're ever going to learn this." So I didn't take that as an offense or try to justify it. I took it as mercy. When a spiritual master chastises you, it's his mercy. It's like a Advaita Acharya didn't like the fact that Lord Chaitanya was respecting him so much. So he decided to make a plan. He made a plan so that he could get Lord Chaitanya to not respect him. So he preached Mayavadi philosophy. And when Lord Chaitanya came to see Advaita Acharya, he asked him, "Acharya, which is better, which is supreme, which is superior, jnana or bhakti?" And Advaita Acharya said, "The jnana is more important than bhakti." And when Lord Chaitanya heard that, he became furious. He started beating Advaita Acharya. And Advaita Acharya's wife came and had to ask Lord Chaitanya to stop beating him, but she thought he was going to kill him. But Advaita Acharya was happy that he fulfilled his desire, that Lord Chaitanya took this senior position instead of showing so much respect to him. So things are going on. The devotee should always take the humble position and try to cooperate. The devotees all over the world to try to cooperate to spread this Sankirtan movement. We should be careful not to commit the 10 offenses when chanting the holy name, especially the first offense and the seventh offense. First offense is the blasphemy of devotees. If you hear blasphemy of a devotee, you should immediately go away. If you can't counter and defeat the person, then you should go away. If you can't go away, then you should cut out the blasphemer's tongue, and then you should kill yourself. We can't do any of those things in this age. We can't cut out anyone's tongue and kill ourselves. But if someone's speaking bad about devotees, if someone's speaking bad about yourself, we take the humble position and see it as Krishna's mercy. But if someone's speaking bad about the other devotees or about Krishna, then you shouldn't stay there. You should immediately leave that place. Because if you hear blasphemy, then you also become victimized and fall down from Krishna consciousness. So that's all I'm going to say. Anybody have any comments or questions? All right. If I offended everybody, please forgive me. Let me chant that prayer every morning. Bancha kopa tribhya sha kripa sindhaya cha paryam bhavnevyo vaishnevyo namo namaha. This community obeisances. In case we offended someone, knowingly or unknowingly, we should always ask for forgiveness. Even if we're not at fault, someone may think we're at fault, so we should go to that devotee and beg his forgiveness. Hare Krishna. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Śrīla Śrīla Bhāgavatam ki.